pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And remain standing. And if you would, take your Bibles, please. We're going to be in the book of Psalms today and for the next several weeks. And each week over the next, for this series, we're going to read the entire Psalm, Psalm 101, beginning in verse 1. A Psalm of David. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall not be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. If you're new to us today, one of the reasons we do that is we believe that the word of the Lord is worthy of reverence and honor and standing. And when he speaks, we want to say thank you for speaking. And so that's why we do what we do with the word of the Lord. This is the time of the year. Maybe in your house you do these types of things, but this is the time of the year where resolutions are made, where people begin to commit to all kinds of different things. I was reading this week, I don't do resolutions, just to be real honest with you. I quit them way too often. So I decided, you know what, I'm not going to make any new resolutions this year. But I was reading, and this kind of struck me odd, you know, or it got really personal. 50% of America makes resolutions, 50% of America doesn't. Of the 50% who do, did you realize that January 10th is the day that's called Quitter's Day? It's where the majority of people quit the resolutions that they had just resolved 10 days earlier they were going to do. Guilty as charged, all right? That's why I don't make them. I decided I'm not going to do that kind of thing. But this passage that we're in today and for the next 3 weeks, I believe is David's resolution chapter. This chapter, Psalm 101, he has in there as he's reading, I don't know if you caught this. In fact, as you got your little notebook as you were coming in, your highlighter, your pen, this would be a good spot to begin to put some highlights, some notes and things. 10 different times in this passage, in this psalm, he says, I will. I will. This is written for you English people, you grammar people. This is an emphatic verb. There is emphasis that is on it. It means that it is continual. He's saying, I will be. I will be this type of person. And what King David is wanting us to begin to see, I think from the very beginning of this passage or from the outset of this series, Integrity 101, is where our integrity is based. Where our integrity is based, that if the Lord God desired a king, King David, at the outset, to be able to say, I'm going to be this man, I'm going to be a person of integrity, because leading God's people, God's king, needed to be a man of integrity. I would say to you even today, that would be imperative for us. Those should be emphatic verbs for us, that we will do certain things that will cause us to be and be reflective of the God that we serve. Now, I want to be, from the very beginning, I want to make sure I say this. We don't want to be men and women of integrity with a checklist, just a checkbox. This, I do this, I do this, I do this. In fact, I guess we should probably define what does integrity mean? How are we going to talk about integrity? By definition, integrity means this. It means to be sound, have soundness. It means that we are whole. There's soundness, there's wholeness, there's completeness, that you're true to who you are. Now, you oftentimes, when you talk about a person of integrity, we start naming the fruits of what we think an integrous person has, right? They're honest, they're noble, they're honorable, they're trustworthy. But you realize those are fruits. That integrity is soundness and wholeness and completeness. Now, let me put this another way. We really want this. If you've been in the building industry, you're an engineer, we want things that are structurally sound. When you drive across a bridge, that bridge needs to have structural integrity, does it not? It needs to have structural integrity. That's a bridge. It is whole, it's complete, it's firm, it's complete. If you're going into a building, let's say any kind of building, but specifically even like a high rise, multiple tens, tens upon tens upon tens of stories, you want that building to be complete. You want it to be firm. You want it to be sound. You want it to have structural integrity. I've heard it said that integrity is character that is structurally sound. Character that is structurally sound. I read a book long ago. It was talking about character and integrity, and the title of it was this: Who You Are When No One Is Looking. And I thought, that's a pretty good definition. You know what the sad thing is that was written by a pastor 25 or 30 years ago that in the last 5 years has fallen. You know why? Because his public life far exceeded his private life. He was not structurally sound, complete, firm, whole in who he said that he was. We've seen in the last several years, in fact, over the last 2 years, we've seen leader after leader after leader after leader who say they are followers of Jesus Christ, who preach the gospel all around, who have just fallen. Because structurally, they were not people of integrity. Their private life was nowhere near what their public life was. And you see, that speaks to us today. I really believe this. Because in our world today, where it's all about platforming, building an image, making sure that what we look like, who we say we are, what we do looks great, but behind that, I want to make sure that you catch this. If you're not structurally sound, if you're not a person of integrity, the Lord, Paul wrote in Galatians that don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. God will not be mocked. So as followers of Jesus Christ, it is imperative that we be active, that we be resolute, that we be people of integrity. And this is what David is going to help us to begin to see. This is what he's going to be talking about. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at what does it mean for us to be people of integrity based out of Psalm 100. Now, I think there's a couple of things here, some words that I want you to catch real quickly. And I'm going to do this really quick. I don't have a lot of time, but these words are very important. The first is this, is the word heart. In verses 2, 4, and 5. This is where I would be circling, highlighting, or something. In verses 2, 4, and 5, he talks about, King David, he writes about the soundness of our heart. The heart is the epicenter of all that we are, of who we are. We want our hearts to be firm, complete, and whole, do we not? We don't want our hearts to be divided. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, you could write that down and go back to it. He basically says this. He says, listen, out of the goodness of your heart, good things come. Out of the evil of your heart, evil things come. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart is central. In fact, if you were to go to Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20 through 27, he lays out the proverb, the person who wrote that, Solomon. He says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. It is the wellspring of your life, the heart. Jesus even said that no man can serve two masters. You can't be divided. You can't be divided. The second word that I want you to see specifically for today is the word house in verses 2 and 7. King David uses the word house in this psalm two ways. It has a double meaning. The first way is a very physical structure, his palace, his home. It is the place that he resides. The second way is he's talking about his influence, his people around him. For instance, this would be our house. This is my house. Sometimes this feels like my home. I'm here enough. Maybe you might say that. But this isn't where I live, like physically live, but this is where I do life. This is This is the surroundings. This is a dwelling. This is my house. So he's using it not only as his physical structure where he presently lives, but he's also using it as his influence. And that's very important. You remember in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, Jesus said, a house divided against itself will surely fall. Because a house, your dwelling, who you are, if you are divided, you're divided. That means our integrity is not complete, it's not firm, it's not sound. It's not reflective of who it is that we say that we follow. So as we start this, and we haven't even got to verse 1 yet, just kind of helping us to set the groundwork for the rest of these next 3 weeks as we walk through this. With that, let's look at verse 1 real quick. Look at verse 1. Let's start there. Verse 1 says, I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. To you. Now, circle the two I wills there in verse 1. I will sing. I will be a singer. I will be singing of your steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will, circle, I will make music. King David says the entire basis of this psalm, the entire basis of this psalm, the entire basis for everything that he's going to say over the next 3 weeks is this. God, I'm going to sing because of your steadfast love. You've heard me say this over and over. If you're new here, you're going to hear this a lot. Steadfast love means covenant love. It's the Hebrew word hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It's a good thing you have a notebook. You can write that thing down so you can go and see it. H-E-S-E-D, hesed. It is God's covenant love. And he says this, oh, Lord God, I will sing because of your covenant love. Because you have loved me. God, I'm going to sing not because I'm great, because I've done all these things. I'm going to sing because of who you are. You're a God of covenant. You're a God who stands by me. You're the one who everything that I do, everything from this point on is based on who you are. Not what I'm doing. It's not a checklist of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and therefore I'll be a person of integrity. No, I'm going to emulate, reflect, follow after you because of who you are. You see, God loved us with an everlasting love. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And think about his I wills. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will give you peace. I will give you prosperity. I will walk with you. I will never turn my back on you. These are the I wills of God. You know what that is? That's steadfast love. That's covenant. That's covenant. And David says, listen, for me to be a man of integrity, it's based on who you are, God. God, because of who you are, because you have shown your love to me, you have opened my eyes. He also goes on to say, not only your steadfast love, but it's your justice, because of your justice. The word justice there means judgments. Because of your judgments, did you realize that all of God's ways are perfect? They're always right. They're never wrong. What he decides, what he judges, what he sees is always correct. His justice is always right and perfect. And he says, David sings. He says, I'm going to sing this week while I was in my study, studying for this passage. As I'm reading and I'm thinking through and I'm just soaking in the word, I'm trying to figure out, Lord, speak to me. I became overwhelmed and began, listen, I'm not a good singer. The scripture says, make a joyful noise. Thank the Lord. But I was overwhelmed to sing and to make music. Did you realize that you sing and you make music? Every day you sing and you make music. It's either with the radio, in the shower, something. You may be singing. You may be going, I'm not singing out loud. People aren't hearing me. But you're singing inside. You are making a joy. Let me ask you this. Who are you singing to? What are you singing about? Structurally sound, complete, integrous people who are followers of the way, who are, God, I am overwhelmed by your steadfast love, your judgments, your justice, that you chose me. You chose me. Wow. 10 times he says, I will through here. So he's making some resolutions. He is resolute in here in what he's going to do. So the question is today, what's it look like for us? Well, I have two I wills for us today, all right? And if we're going to be people of integrity, I think there are some things that we must do. Things that I'm going to ask you, some actions that I'm going to ask you to take over the next at least 4 weeks, but hopefully in these 4 weeks, they become a lifestyle and a pattern for your life. Number one is this: we will live in God's word. We will live in God's word. Look at verse 2. Both of these come out of verse 2. Look at the first part of verse 2. David's writing, King David's writing again, and he says, I will, you can circle I will. He says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? He says, I will ponder. I'm going to be, that word ponder means wisely understanding. I'm going to be pondering, thinking, wisely understanding the path, the way, the path of the blameless, which is another word for integrity, complete and sound. He says, I'm going to be wisely understanding those who are full of integrity, those who are walking in your way, those who are walking wisely before you. I'm going to do that because I'm now been anointed the king of your people. So this is what I've been called to do. How do we do that? I think we do that through God's word. We will become people who are in God's word, because the only place that we find true wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of our friends. Listen, you may have had a grandpa and a grandmother, and they gave great, great advice. But we're talking about wisdom that comes from the one who has steadfast love, whose judgments and actions are always perfect and right. He says, I'm going to study that. I'm going to be in God's word, seeking to be a person of integrity, of completeness, of soundness, of firmness. I want to be structurally integrous. Notice what verse 2 causes us, or at least it causes me to begin to think back to Psalm 1. Turn back 100 Psalms, please, to Psalm 1. We're in Psalm 101. Go back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 describes the man who is blessed, and it begins by telling us in the way that he doesn't walk, the path that he doesn't take. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, says, blessed is the man who walks not. He doesn't take this path. He doesn't take this way. He says, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Do you notice the progression from walking to standing to sitting? But his delight is in the law, the judgments, the wisdom. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, his judgments, his wisdom, he meditates day and night. He thinks on them day and night. Skip down to verse 6. Verse 6 says this, for the Lord knows the way, the path. He knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I do not want you to be deceived. This is binary. There is a path of righteousness and there is a path of wickedness. And I want you to know, one path leads to life. And that's why we always say we're about finding life. Pointing people to the abundant life in Christ, the wise life of Christ, what the word has to say. And there is a path that leads to death, to perishing. And the king says, listen, because of your steadfast love, because your judgments, your justice is always right, you are perfect, I want to study the way of the blameless, those who have integrity, those who are sound, those who are complete. Listen, those who want to live a life of integrity, those of you in here who say, I follow Jesus Christ, he is the one I've surrendered and submitted my life to, then the way that we do that, the way that we live a life of integrity, a life of soundness of conviction, is that we go and we study where wisdom is found. We live in God's word. This whole passage, if you haven't caught it, there's the word dwelling that's in it. There's the word house that's in it several times. He's talking about living in God's word, living where the wise. Have you ever heard wise people live with wise people? Birds of a feather flock together. Like knows like. You want to find a really, you know, whatever your position is, you know other people in those positions. Listen, when you want to be wise, you study the wise and you go back to where wisdom has come from. God's word. If we want to be people of integrity, people who are sound, people who are firm in our commitment of following after the one who is steadfast in his love, the one who has placed his covenant love on us, who said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Though you will, I won't. I won't. Then we live in God's word. David even so much says, because of this, I'm going to sing. I'm going to make music. My life is going to be vocalizing that I follow you, that I follow you. I live in God's word. How do we do this? Well, a couple of ways. Number one, I think you got to have a textbook. Okay? If you don't have a Bible, please come see me after this message. I want to help you get a Bible. I want to help you get a Bible. This is where God's wisdom is found. Getting into his word. I'm going to give you a little slogan. I don't know another way to say it. This year, I want to ask you, would you do 25 and 25? Would you spend 25 minutes a day in 2025 in God's word? 25 minutes a day. Some of you may be going, I don't know where to start. Well, we have Bible reading plans on our website that will give you free. There are some you can buy, but there's a ton, probably 10 or 15 that are free. Some of you are going, I'm not really techie. Come see me. We'll help you get them. We'll help you figure them out. Even more than that, did you realize that in the book of Proverbs, it was written to help us to be trained to think wisely? Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8, it says this was written so that we would be trained to think wisely. Each and every day. Today is January 5. Read Proverbs 5. Tomorrow morning, read, or tomorrow afternoon, whenever it is that you have the time to spend your 25 minutes, you read Proverbs 6. Read Proverbs 7 the next day. And you just spend time reading God's word. You see, the only way that we're going to be people of integrity is when we ponder, when we wisely understand, when we seek wisdom, when we live in God's word. Do you know how much easier that is when you get involved in a group? A group that's reading God's word together? Do you know that all of our life groups, all of our D groups, all of our men's groups, all of our women's groups, our kids' groups, our preschool down there, do you know the word is central to everything we do? Because it is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that will stand the test of time. At the end of our days, there are two things that will last, the souls of men and the word of God. So we want to be people of integrity, then we got to live in God's word. I say this is who I am, I will live like that. Second action, and I close up with this, is that I will also live with God's people. I'll live with God's people. Notice the last part of verse 2. The last part of verse 2 says this, another I will statement. I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Within my house. Now remember, David uses house in two ways. Literally, right here, he is speaking about his palace, his dwelling, where he lives. Where he lives. He says, this wholeness, this soundness, this firmness, this commitment, this integrity, I'm going to do this in my house. I'm going to do it in my house. There are some of you in here, I look around, you may not know this name because you're probably too young maybe, but there was a famous pastor, preacher, evangelist who's preached to probably more people face-to-face than anyone in all of history. His name was Billy Graham. He passed away a few years ago. He has written and spoken that the hardest place to live as a Christian is in your own home. Some of you agree with that, I see. And David says, I will live with integrity in my own home. Why is it so hard to live with structural soundness, completeness, and wholeness in your own home? Why is that with my family? Yeah, and can I tell you what I think? It's because when you walk into your own domicile, you walk into your palace, it's like you get in and you go, now I can be who I am. No one else is looking. The pressure out there, the pressure over here. Can I tell you that if your private life is less than your public life, you're in for a fall. When your public life exceeds your private life, it's like you're top heavy and eventually you just fall over. You see, who we are at home is who we really are. Boy, that's convicting to me. I don't know about you. You see, he says, listen, this is where it's going to be, in my home to begin with. I'm going to dwell with integrity. These are the people who know me the best. They see me when I'm at my worst. And David says, this is where I'm going to start. It's active. I will be walking with integrity of heart within my own home. David says, this is how I'm going to do this. Notice that he didn't say he's going to do it perfectly. Now, we have to address, and each week I'm going to, but you got to remember, David, though the scripture tells us, Samuel 13, Acts 13, he's described as a man after God's own heart. That's why he was chosen as king, because the Lord God saw that he's a man after my own heart. And yet, where did David's downfall happen? In his own home. In fact, to be very specific, it was on his roof. I don't want to steal next week, but he was gazing at something that he had no business gazing at. And I can promise you, what you gaze will eventually dwell with you. Make sure you come back next week. We'll talk about that. I think that's important for us to catch, and it should be at some level a little bit of, okay, David, who is making all of these resolutions, he even wasn't able to live up to what it is that he said, I resolve. But I want to make sure that you catch this. David, he was a man who desired, this is where I'm headed. I'm not perfect, but this is where I'm headed. This is where I'm headed. This is where the second part of that home and house come in. Because David had a man in his life named Nathan, who was a prophet, who lived in his home, who had access to the palace, who had access to the king, who was a man who walked blamelessly. He was a prophet of the Lord. He walked before the Lord. He was a man of integrity, and his integrity called him to walk in the life of the king. He had access to the king. He could spend time with the king. He walked with the king and said, David, you've sinned. He called him to repentance and then took him by the hand and walked him through reconciliation and restoration. Psalm 51, write that down. I don't have time to preach it or teach it. Read it this week in conjunction with Psalm 101. It is David's confession. It is David's confession. All throughout verses 5, 6, 7, in fact, even before here, you're reading about not only back in Psalm 101, you're reading about a physical house and you're reading about influence. You're reading about those that you surround yourself with, those who are a part of the house, you are a part of my house. We're not going to live in commune together. Like, you're not going to come out. I don't have room for you, all right? You don't want to live with me. I probably don't want to live with you, but you realize that we live as God's people together. My life affects yours and your life affects mine. And we want to be walking as men and women of integrity with men and women of integrity. Here's the great thing, is that when we don't, we have other men and women of integrity who will come alongside us and call us back to a road of integrity. You see, you're not going to be perfect. David was not perfect. Even all the way back to the garden, when God said, listen, when you eat of the tree, he didn't say if you, he says when you eat. He already knew. Yet we have to make resolutions. Do you realize there was a gym, I believe it was in New Jersey, I was reading about it this week, a gym in New Jersey that is taking absolutely no new signups until February or March. I said, we're not going to take any new signups until February and March because we don't want to crowd out our own people because these folks are going to quit after a little bit. Some people have criticized them, said, bad business deal. Go ahead and take the money. Let them come on. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to resolve. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But we are going to walk with one another. And when we walk with one another, when we don't have structurally sound integrity, when we sin and we don't live up to what it is, live up to God's steadfast love, here's what I want you to know. Thanks be to God, you don't have to. We're called to be holy. I want to live after God, but you need to know there's only been one person who was perfect. He laid his life down on a cross for us. It is in his perfection that we have life. It is in his perfection that does not release from me. Remember Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No. You may be thinking, I don't know if I could do 25 and 25. I don't know. I don't know if I can commit to a group. Here's what I want to tell you. I want you to jump in no matter what you think today because I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. When we begin to taste and eat and see that he is good, when we begin to live in his word, when we begin to live in community with God's people, he begins to make changes in our life and he begins to change our desires. And he begins to do things in our lives that we never thought, I didn't think I'd do this. And here I am 5 months in and I'm still here. I'm not saying if you don't think you can do it, don't do it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, listen, I want you to come on with us. Come on. Get into the word. Start living in God's word. Start living with God's people. And hide and watch what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Can I tell you that we're not seeking to be people of integrity so we can check a box. Growing up, we had offering envelopes. And on those offering envelopes, there were these little boxes that you could check that says you've read your Bible, attended church, did this, and I don't know what all they were. And they wanted you to check those boxes, not just so you check them, to see spiritual growth. We're not talking about that, okay? I'm not asking you to be a person of try to be good and be honest and be honorable. This isn't BMOD. This isn't behavior modification. This is about becoming so overwhelmed with the steadfast love of God because I'm living in his word and I'm living with his people and he is changing me. And God, I want to be a person that rightly reflects you. I want my integrity to be firm. I want it to be sound. I want my life to reflect you. Who I say I am, that's who I am. You remember old Popeye, the old cartoons, you older folks? I am who I say I am. Go look him up online. It's somewhere, you younger guys. This is what David is calling us to. And did you realize all of that isn't based in just the checkbox I said? It's not based in it. You know what it's based in? It's based in God's I will. I will love you. I will keep you. I will protect you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be your peace in the midst of storm. I will be your provision when you don't know where the ends are going to meet. I will do these things. And you know how he's going to do them? All in Jesus Christ. Because God said, I will make a way where there is no way. I will send my son. He will die for you. Why? Because I have planned it. And I have salvation for you and for you and for you and for you also if you would but surrender and submit. Listen, you may be trying to live after, I want to be the most integrous person. And you're like gritting it, you're busting it, you're giving it your all. But I can tell you this, it'll probably die out soon. Can I tell you who will not die out? Jesus Christ. And when we seek to find our life in him, full, abundant life, only in Christ, when we live in his word, when we live alongside with God's people, who are calling us back to integrity, calling us to lives of soundness as followers of Christ, walking with us and forgiving us when we're not, pointing us back to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what David was calling us towards. This is what David resolutely said he wanted to be, even though he himself could not live up to it. My hope and my desire is this, is that we would also do what David did when the one who understood wisely confronted him. I will confess, I will repent, and I will return. Did you know when we do that, it's the Lord healing us? It may be a painful process, but I can promise you this, that's where true life is found. Can I give you some homework this week? Good, I'm going to anyway. Here's your homework. Just like when you go to class, here's your homework. You can choose to do it or not. I want you to get your textbook out. I want you to commit to 25 and 25, 25 minutes a day in His Word. Do you know that all the reading plans that are on our website, they take about 25 minutes to read through that day's? That's if you're a slow reader. It's designed. I want you to listen to God's Word. I want you to begin to live with God's Word. I want you to say, listen, a part of your homework is I want you to live with God's people. I want you to invite people into your home. I want you to invite people into your small group, into your life group. Some of you, your homework is going to be that you need to get into a life group or a small group. You need to start living with God's people. Maybe you need to call together two or three people and say, hey, let's start meeting. Let's start reading the Bible together. Let's just read the Bible together. When we live with God's people and we're living in God's Word, change will come. Transformation will come, because that's the word of the Lord. Some of you, you've been around here for weeks. Some of you have been around here for months. Some of you have been around here for years, and you've never made a commitment to God's people. You dip in and you dip out. Man, I want next Sunday in the 10:45, the 10:50, excuse me, service, in the 10:50 service, we have First Step. I want you to go. I want you to register and go. And I want you to make a commitment to God's people. You want to be living a life of integrity, a life of wholeness. You want to live a life that's firm. Live in His Word and live with His people. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I'm asking you, will you make us people of integrity? Let us be who we say that we are. I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I love you and I honor you. And I would ask today, by the power of the Spirit, would you save people? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things.